We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The combination of an anti-malaria drug with a commonly used antibiotic touted by the president in the early days of the coronavirus outbreak. There are clinical trials underway to see if the combo of a Z-Pak antibiotic with hydroxychloroquine can be effective.
Now, because even though doctors have been warning about risks of embracing, you know, this treatment without better research, there is apparently some potential that it could work. Dr. Josh Michaud is Associate Director for Global Health Policy for the Kaiser Family Foundation.
So, Doctor, this combination mentioned again at the news conference at the White House today. They said more of it's going out. Where are you with this?
Well, The hope that this will be a good treatment is based on a few studies which have come out, and these studies, which we can have our reservations about because they're a very small number of people that have been tested on, and also the methods aren't the most rigorous, but they did show that there was some improvement in some of the patients who received this combination of hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin. And, you know, there's a plausible biological pathway. There's been studies of chloroquine in previous years looking at its effect on the SARS virus and the MERS virus in cells. You know, this isn't people, but looking at it in the lab and has seen some effect. So there's some reason to investigate this further, but we have to be very careful about not promising too much too early, because, again, we have to make sure that these drugs are first safe for a lot of people who have coronavirus to take in the first place, and that they actually have an effect in people with coronavirus that we hope they would have. And so to build off of the very early evidence to come from these first studies, they are now engaging in larger studies in different countries, including the United States, to really get some better information about both the safety and the effectiveness.
Let me ask you the cynical question that I know some people have already thought about, which is that these two drugs, the Z-Pak antibiotic and the anti-malaria drug, these are both fairly common drugs. They've been on the market for a long time. They're not particularly expensive, including the in particular the Z-Pak, which is almost dirt cheap. And some of the more exotic drugs being tried are ones that would, if they came on the market, be extremely expensive and also very lucrative to pharmaceutical companies. And so I think you know where I'm going with this. Is there a bias, perhaps, against the more common drugs because it's just not that profitable for companies?
I don't know if there's a bias. It seems to me that the combination of the Z-Pak and the chloroquine, which are, as you say, both pretty inexpensive drugs compared to others, has been at the top of the list, although, of course, there are antiviral medications which are being investigated as well. I think people are reaching for whatever might work, and some of those might be less expensive options, and some of those might be more expensive options. So I don't want to read too much into Which ones are being pushed and which ones are not, I think there's a legitimate reason to investigate a broad set of different potential treatments. And I know that's exactly what's happening. Both the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases here in the U.S., the World Health Organization, have put together a very large set of different trials. We have 7 going on here in the United States looking at a variety of different treatments. And the World Health Organization has organized something like 33 different trials and coordinating across different countries and different research institutions to really answer the key questions that we need to answer about them. Are they safe? And are they effective at treating coronavirus patients?
When you do those trials right, how long do they take before you have an answer?
It can depend, but we have quite a lot of coronavirus going around, of course, and so there are probably no shortage of patients on who would be interested in receiving this and be part of a trial. So we could be talking about weeks at months, maybe maximum. And I know that the earliest trials started in February looking at different antiviral medications. And the results are expected, at least some results are expected in April. So we could be talking about results from some of these trials in the next few weeks.
Dr. Josh Michaud, Associate Director for Global Health Policy, the Kaiser Family Foundation.